thing is that we should not regulate in how we play, so for example, if the gifting of the participation get and not sufficient in terms of authority. And the second thing, because it goes back to the CCIF. In fact, I think I'm not going to ask this question. In what is that to do? That's what I find a process, but I do think that you need to start talking amongst yourselves about this matter, it's a huge matter. Must be an honor. So the problem is that if municipalities are starting to speak, we need to have this atmosphere. My view, this is a position of time. And so, can they talk to you? They go down and speak for them. I think it's a matter. That would need some edge of attention ready to do. I'm not going to ask a question, that's not to make the statement in the form of a question. Let's come there, let's say we want to do two of the meetings in the next 3 or 4 or 5 weeks to start talking to the meeting. And maybe you might also want to talk to the municipality. That's also a fact. So that's also the kind of challenge and process that they have with the municipality. So that's very not really a question there, let's just say. All that can be by the way of medical solving is just a matter of edging. But I should comment for one of you to be that interesting.
Yes, thank you. I think you
one side is the constraint, the question. But I think we understand the question from where the standard of transport comes from. But I think that I thought that one covered what I was saying is that we would also let the committee from the framework and say, I mean from our own experience, is that not many municipalities have sufficient what we call their resources to draw from in order for them to be able to be saying, no, we have not used these resources that are provided by the department because we have elsewhere the resources that we will be drawing from. Not many of the in the country. Maybe there are those big ones, the little metro, but many of them, they must really also be convinced as well as well that now. The reason why there is a tie is because we have been using from our own resources. Because our own experience as a committee is that if people start to say those things, that's where we have been using from our own country, where there are not sufficient particular resources, it means that as people are sacrificing some other programs in order to prioritize this program. Now, what we're trying to say, of ensuring that secretary at the Department of Transport could agree to this municipality this year. I think that we must, what we call it, this must be clarified, that we not, I mean, those what we call the arrangements are not compromising the service delivery, what we call the matter that we see in the country. They are not what we call a compromise. Because sometimes, I mean, there are programs with which you have trained. I agree with how trade and the specific challenge that I challenge with the how trade the DTS indicated for all the challenges that DTS indicated. But I'm not sure if we could say the same about all the programs around the world because it's the municipality. But also, because the you know, you say to people, okay, you give a hand if you want to hold up. Because they also want to find a way somewhere to short some. And I'm saying sometimes we should not find ourselves in a situation where we're not able to ensure that people do comply. Because the whole objective of compliance has to ensure that they people do as much as possible try to adapt to those time frames, because time frames are also to do with the delivery of that product as well. So I think we need to strike a balance. And I would hope that those discussions will also come back to us once they are discussed, but also come back to us. And we also
resistance our best. Basically, the point is that clearly, the further situation in the country is impossible to play. So, clearly, the whole industry, I think, first look at the relation to that is to make good for us. And so, it also saying these are things that are immediate. Process. So okay, when they see, they would then be able to do all of this kind of money. The only problem I think I have is when this is actually suspected that this is a condition. And so I thought that the framework must be clear in terms of what must be done, or then the same expecting in different, whereas others have decided to go for that direction. So clearly, I think I do have a problem there, and I'm not sure why that is. I might see it myself, but I now, I'll give you that on the issues of foreigners, part of the positional time, and the other thing, I'll give you that on the issues of combining.
Within that, we have used to have a full 2005 era. We're not doing so with a blank check. We're not doing so in a greenfield area where nothing is doing. For instance, Cape Town has a pretty sophisticated rail network, which operates and is used, which actually works efficiently compared to the other cities. In the other cities, we have one or two rail corridors that matter. Cape Town is a rail system. So if Cape Town comes to us with a solution that is orientated to one rail, we can't say, no, we must do what other cities are doing, because the historical rail is broken down. Different, their priorities might be different, but the important is that they will be providing affordable, efficient public transport that aims to access areas that were not previously serving, and that has run efficient in order to fulfill the needs of their people. So we're not too rigid about those areas. What we do know, CPIS is meant for public transport, so we can conserve from investment in hard infrastructure, systems management and enhancement. That is a broad range of spectrum of public transport intervention that you have downright to pedestrianization of walkways, etc., where you don't provide cycling and other mechanisms. The funds described and defined, but to allow for all of these public transport. This maybe I'll be sharing with you in tickets because we know the detail of how slightly different the thing is compared to the other still, basic has to be what is in effect.
Thanks. Let me start off with the one that you with the municipality is not changing. I think there are federal regulations related to the EMMA in terms of the payment of credit. Then in the section 65 of the EMMA, they also talk about the payment of credit. Now, what DGB says is that it's often that the creditors themselves are being paid on time. But then what is at hand is the municipality, or even for them, in some cases, even the professor's party, not doing their job in terms of coming back to national government to say, you know, pay for something. Now the question that arises is, can we legislate for something like that? Because we may actually then have a problem actually that relates to that. Now, there is a history actually in that, because if you look at the March 5 for the past 5 or 6 years, you see it. In housing, it has been there for a number of years and all of that. And it's just a matter of building that necessary capacity in the municipality to resolve it. The problem can be even widespread where the money lands up even with the municipality for that matter. And the municipality doesn't even know the money is in their bank account. So this is a bigger problem that I think the legislation itself, as I said, will not be able to resolve. It's something that we have to look into with our financial management interventions that we are undertaking actually in this country. The issues around housing, I share also those sentiments with the PC, because when we, for example, we started finalizing the loan agreement with the housing treasurer, when we asked the treasurer whether it gives us a cash flow protection of, you know, when do you anticipate to pay, a simple thing cannot is not forthcoming from the president. So those are issues that we are grappling with actually with the tender on the tender side. Then we get quarterly reports, and some of these quarterly reports that come from Melbourne and Jackson, they are big kind of reports. Whether those reports serve the kind of purpose that you want them to serve is indeed also another kind of question. Now, when we left our next DORA in terms of flexibility, I think there is a bit of flexibility in DORA in a way, as the second principle gives you that kind of flexibility where you can amend a payment schedule if the cash flows are not, you know, in progress, it's possible for that matter. And then what the projected cash flow would be, you can actually align those in a way to deal with the problems that may arise out of that. So those are issues that you will take see how we can actually improve on that. But from where we sit, we also need to check up our act with the government, the treasury itself, so that it builds from a capacity to manage the state.
Thank you.
Housing is
another issue. I'm hoping housing is a very tech for the institution. It is called third one is turnaround time. Now, I am not going to take this part yet. And apparently, therefore, the government was like, at this end, tightly bound, not survive. So, what do you think of the rest? The rest of the city of Panda, for life. So, it's a matter that we think we have to be involved. We have also had the meeting with the Queen of the Lord. Thank you for the support, because we are very special in the nation. That is why we have to be part of it. And we think of course, two and three of us. Part of the bigger problem, therefore, is to serve the people that are funding of us. Now, raising these things, then, we have to say, it would be nice just to have more discussion on the conflict with the own country. That's also what we said. Of what is going on. But also, if there would also be some capacity for this country, the highest they are in the world of the country. Because fuel are paid to aid the economy. But surely you can't say that the economy is the economy of the country that we have highlighted. We are not talking about other countries, just the very simple of what is going on, or what is going on. There are things that are ongoing in some other studies, but doing some better. And the matter of fact, yes? Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairman. But also to say now, I'm really glad that this new division of revenue makes everybody to account to the accounting officer. And I think that is a very good step. It makes him and everybody who receives funds now no longer does a free for all. Everybody must account. So we will see what is going to come from the government and not the government. Well, I will talk to you after my teaching, not talking about the government. We're talking about the old. But also said, there is a something that I'm this bad mentioned maybe, and I hope that you're looking into. I align the teaching could have covered that before I align the issue of the recapitalization.
Governance issues, currently we have tabled, we have a budget that is tabled here. That's it.
when converted, the allocations that go to Torah, and there are deliverable conditions and everything that needs to happen, where the Department of Transport and Roads will be able to be automatically be able to print the information that is happening, the H-24444, for the Department will be printing, and ourselves will be printing to the information that is required in terms of our campaign in terms of Torah. So I want to say, the act has set the promise is taken to ensure that the RAL account is protected.
I shouldn't have allowed it. You know why? You are not part of the discussion in your own province. And your own department told us some things I'm not going to tell you now. So that you go back and start harassing people. But we are monitoring a process that is underway. There's a process that is taking place, we agreed on, that the provincial secretary and yourself must work on. Fortunately, you were surrendered by the CFO and some team. I don't want to tell you now. Maybe you might want to go back and shoot him like that. I'm just saying, exactly what Mr. Potter was saying in terms of the contract. But, did you mean the last one is not on there for matter?
Thank you very much. I think one of the issues that you raised about the mirrors of the funds that are available for road construction. At some point, maybe we throw that into our country. Creating a little bit of a nightmare. Separate for national roads, we have a process led primarily by SAMRA, private sector funding included. And then we have a process of confirmation of provincial rules so that they become national rules and decades. Second in the hierarchy is intergovernmental fiscal transfer, the amount of which is determined largely by treasury, those go to provinces and allocated significant amount allocated to the P unique, another set. EPWP, another set. EPWP in transport, 3 billion over MTM period, we have prioritized rural roads. Here, what is really pointing is the need for rationalization of road funds. Because in a sense, you can't really manage an account specific for the implementation. The conditionalities on each one of those different funding is different. So the way transfer funds per kilometer is different. The way what happens to intergovernmental fiscal transfers, the flexibility when it gets to provincial treasury, they can allocate it to water and something else and they can determine priority. When you get to peak need, the flexibility is also there. They can do. So, lastly, that points to the need for rationalization. The point that you raise around agriculture is then the relationship between roads and transport generally and other line functions. It relates to the decision around internal legislation being funded by the sector. So, internal reticulation to housing is funded by housing, internal reticulation to agriculture is funded by agriculture, etc. But generally, the road, whether we like it or not, some of the funding goes through provincial and local government for those particular programs. But in a sense, I mean, it also helps us to see the big picture, because here we are increasingly seeing a challenge that's going to emerge on the issues of road maintenance in the short to medium term. However, the funding streams for roads are so diverse and dispersed and the conditionalities are so different that we can't get to a point where the department responsible for roads are saying, this is the backlog of roads in South Africa, this is how much we're spending on it because the funding is so fragmented, and therefore this is how much we're covering so that we can account properly. But we work with treasure in terms of rationalizing that as well. Chair, I think that's the only issue. The others, I think, on the other.
Thank you, madam. I think that discussion is really encouraged. It must take place in the matter of priority. Mr. Tao, doesn't matter on the matter of class and that one. You are specialists about the story of the driver is needed. Let us then the issue of roads and transport and thank your colleague for coming because we did want to raise this matter.
as well as you also have extent of what's going on in their area, so that you also assist them in terms of their approaches. We had some discussions with the Shabisa sometime there. When I was watching the terrible accident the other day, I was again thinking about the discussion we had ending the airport. I hope that things are done yet, because what we were raising with them was at stage the soccer match. So we were raising those questions there. Soccer promotion. As I was saying, it's about conscientizing community. Now, when I was watching from, it's not just only community, drivers, the car, the road, etc. So, clearly, as you do all of these things, we're not finding a way of just ensuring that some of these things don't happen. Right, let's send the TG and her team. And just encourage the ongoing discussion between such as the National Department for Service, the provinces, and municipalities. Now we'll take health. Let me just share before the teacher goes. And let me just be fair. Mr. Mukhari, you've been sitting there listening. Don't you have some things that you want clarity on how? Pray and the PTIS as a currency, to handle the currency. Just put to the city and even national president here.
No, sir, I think our intention at the moment is just to get the city to say what happens around you and so here that in terms of select committees and local select committees. But at our level as a city, I think we engage in mind with the policy. Whereby there's interlink with the province, so which is, you know, the chairperson for transport in the city would give the chair for transport in the province, so with that interlink. So it's working well on us, but the only issue that I've seen is an issue that we need to raise the finance with our own chairs in the transport committee in relation to those grants. Whether we're doing well in terms of claiming, because that may be the issue, but we take us because our self said they must know that issues that were raised by the city with actually links to the city of Swan Stock, the key in terms of your house rate and the change that needs to be done. So well done to that issue. Thank you.
Good. Right. Health is going to be useful again to you as well to join the teaching. We have excused you and your team. Right? Mr. Mala, your teaching is with the portfolio, you can proceed. I have given you permission. Where is your submission?
Honorable Chair, this is only for the story in there. Honorable Chair, honorable members, the National Department has got five conditional grants. The first two is the National Searching Services and the Health Professional Training and Development Grant. These two grants are scheduled for grants. The grant is of a highly professional status, and then we have the three other grants, which is the Hospital Revitalization Grant, the HIV and AIDS Grant, and the Forensic Pathology Services Grant. Those are Schedule 5 grants. Honorable Chair, I took the liberty of hand dealing with each grant once at a time. The first one is the National Tertiary Services Grant. This is a grant increase by 193 million. That is over and above the amount that was already indicated in the MTEP of last year. 193 million, 148 million, and 640 million to strengthen tertiary services and central hospital. Again, as indicated by the DG of transport earlier on, the trend is that they are the allocated growth towards the outer side of the M10. The purpose of the grant is to provide strategic funding to enable provinces to plan and modernize and transform the tertiary services. In operation, we have 27 hospitals across 9 provinces. Unfortunately, they are mostly concentrated around Western Cape and Gauteng, and that's something that we've inherited from way back when, where there was a concentration of tertiary services in the Western Cape around Kruger-Schiedsheidelberg, and then again in Gauteng around Persani Baragwana, Johannesburg General, and then also Victoria Academic. The Western Cape and Gauteng received 61.9% of the allocation, and they provide, these two provinces provide the highest proportion of tertiary services. But also just note or bring to your attention that the Free State and KwaZulu-Natal also has tertiary services of a fairly large nature. On slide 5, we see the allocation has recovered. The grant increased from 5.3 billion to 6.0 billion over the year, and it then grows over the MTEP to 7.3 billion. The allocation criteria for this is the cost of designated tertiary services as determined by the costing review of the NCSG, and this gets revised from time to time. If we look at slide number 7, we look at the national the health professional training and development grant, and this particular grant only received its normal inflationary increase. The purpose of this grant is to fund costs associated with the training of health professionals, to develop and recruit medical specialists, and to enable the shifting of the teaching activities from central to regional and district hospitals, and therefore also the rural provinces. On slide 9, we see the allocation, and the allocation is a flat 5% increase between 2007-08. And 2008-09, it grows to 1.8 billion in the outer year. The allocation criteria will be reviewed this financial year or the coming financial year, 2008-09, and is presently based on the historical approach derived from medical students, the medical students distribution. The hospital revitalization is dealt with from slide 11 onwards. This grant grew by 160 million, 500 million, and 900 million, and it addresses the cost escalation that we experienced recently, and also allow for additional projects in the outer years. The purpose of this grant is it plays a key role in transforming and modernizing the infrastructure and equipment in hospitals. It funds and upgrades the replacement of hospital infrastructure, focusing on projects where an entire hospital is upgraded. It also supports the management development initiatives, including personnel, procurement delegations, and financial management capacity. This grant on slide 13 grows substantially from 1.9 billion to 2.8 billion. Please remember the 6.6 million you will see by deducting the one from the other, because that is additional to the amount already in the index. The hospital revitalization allocation criteria is based on the projected cash flow figures for approved projects over the index. The expenditure on health technology is also included, and as well as hospital management and quality improvement actions. It's a project-based allocation approach. It is in line or aligned with an equity-based approach over the long term. If we look at the next grant, which is the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant, which grows by 315 million, 600 million, and 1.2 million, is there to expand the coverage of the comprehensive plan to strengthen the prevention plan. The purpose of the grant is objective to develop a specific response to HIV and AIDS. It supports the prevention program, voluntary counseling, testing, PMCCC, CP, post prophylaxis, and home-based care. The allocation grows quite dramatically from 1.9 billion to 2.5, and it grows to 3.9 in the outer year. The comprehensive HIV and AIDS plan, the allocation of the funds is based on the antenatal HIV and AIDS prevalence, the estimated share of HIV and AIDS cases, and the population polling demarcation. The last grant in the Department of Health is the Preventive Pathology Service, which for this year only received the normal inflationary increases. This grant is due to fall back into the equitable share after the 2010-2011 financial year. The purpose of this grant was to transfer the medical legal mortgage from the police department staff to the health sector and to provide a comprehensive forensic pathology service for the criminal justice system. The allocations in this particular instance on slide 21 indicate that this grant is now reducing from 551 million to 466, and this is as per the plan. Honorable members, the plan initially calls for rather large capital expenditures in the front end of the plan to build more trees, and then later on the cost reduces because it will then only cover the recurring costs. The allocation of the grant was per the national plan that was tabled, and it was modified for demarcation and inflation. As regards a few general points, the attention of the House is drawn to clause 35.2 of the DORA, which indicates that the two Schedule 4 grants specifically cannot be withheld. That means that the Health National Department is rather useless in terms of discipline on this particular grant. He's the Honourable Chair. Toothless.
Okay.
In terms of a recall for this particular grant. We like the from transport indicators, the payment structure and the payment process, particularly those for capital type projects like the hospital revitalization, can be problematic, and if we can get some sort of flexibility in that, it would be very nice. Withholding and stopping of conditional grants is also can be problematic. Do you withhold if a promise specifically and consistently report late? I don't think there's life at stake at the far end of the chain that you can just deliberately withhold a report or funding just because the report is not in. The department would also like to draw the attention of the health to clause 9.1b2, which reads as follows. That is part of the duties of the transferring officer. The transferring officer should not impose any undue administrative burden on receiving provinces and municipalities beyond the provision of standard management information. At this point in time, the commission grant under the control of the health department added to about 14 billion. The total health spent in the country is approximately 60 billion. Therefore, the amount of commission grant is just in the vicinity of 20%, likely more. And we are now imposing a rather lot of onerous conditions on provinces. For 20,
23% of the funds that they receive. And maybe we should just look at the principle of this. Thank you, Chair. And if you take, for instance, Department of Housing,
an example.
For example, if you can go to page, if you've got a copy of the Vision of Holiness.
116. Those are the frameworks. And mind you, some of these frameworks I'm sure are targeted at mimic.
Sakura. I was literally coming to that, I think that we mustn't act as if there is God, because the processes have dark in us because they're imposed. We had a workshop the other day where we saw the processes leading to this argument based on studying from the medium channel, and that means a process that comes to us. But it means that other persons start in June and everything. Now, the problem is sometimes it always comes around the issue of accountability. And something similar, we remember that it's not the first time the other issue was so to see. We just give it this problem. It was dwarf raised and the GLC were raising that close to see today. So we're saying that I think that we do appreciate the situation that the Department of Health is finding itself in. You have now made an example about other problems which are really kind of having it difficult to render these services. But if you do not have the mechanism where you can measure the people, whether they are able to render a service, at what stage are you going to be able to see now that they are recognized? Because people will say, no, you give this flexibility, too much flexibility for people to report when they can. I think that certainly will be making a mistake. Really, it is important to monitor. It is important.
I'm not only second to this project, what I'm referring to.
In other words, we make it possible for for the recruiting officer to have communication. But I'm not sure what you want to
say. The union of the public is not ever in that way of the parents.
Well, that's correct. So it means that there is collective communication, but
you can't want to call it effective. I mean, really,
needed to say, needed to the receiving department to relax the requirements of the reporting, because the next thing, if it is reporting, it means that behind the reporting is a rendering of the test. That is reflected. Now, really, is that what we want to do? So I think that is my comment. I would really like to hear a case of response.
I'm not trying to really only one the professor said, what's called the ending situation, then teach yourself that I that cannot teach you. No, one of the professors three was called at that time. I came to one thing that I said, I couldn't understand how to train yourself in one thing. Now I want to check, really, what other arrangements are there to help the situation? Because again, there is another situation that has developed. We got to this opposition of this home based care people who volunteer. And they are saying, good enough. Don't do a thing, therefore the second. But our mom, the mother called her, stopped being considered for training for the leader. But there was a complaint at the staff for the children. We have been cut off because of the age, the age of technology, so because we want to be considered. But those officials, we have to be volunteered. For 7 years. Then when the system of pushing came over, the cut off was suddenly graduated to become 41. So I'm very, what are how do I get this kind of thing?
I wanted to come back to this. I was still busy that session. I don't want to be sure what his name should say. I would like us to analyze what his name should say so that we have the same understanding. It's a bit that where two or more national departments have responsibilities relating to the schedule for allocation, the concerning national officer must coordinate the roles and responsibilities of such national departments and ensure that those roles and responsibilities they are exercised in such a manner that does not duplicate the responsibilities as set out in subsection 1. 2, that does not impose any undue administrative burden on provinces or countries beyond the provision of standard management information. I would like to see what one says. One is coming, that is 9-1, is coming up with conditions and with the role of considering national officer that one must do. But, in other words, 2 is saying that 9-1 is dealing with the Department of Health transferring money to a provincial entity or whoever. But I think that 2 says, when 2 or more. In other words, not everybody must go to, must flock to this what they call a receiving a department that size. But they must find within themselves a way of coordinating these activities. But it does not take away from that receiving entity or province or municipality the responsibility to report on the what they call it, on those parts of the city. It doesn't take away. But I think that all it says is that not everybody must flock to the same one because I hope that further can what they call it, clarify that. That is my reading of it. It does not say that people must not account those who receive. But it only talks about it at least in terms of how to deal with it. It must be a in a coordinated fashion. Otherwise that receiving entity or whoever cannot work because must account to everybody that is receiving funding for. I think that is what this is all about. So this is what this national department is actually about.
Provided for the response to the government. It was a function to them, because they were bringing the overdraft system. Now, whatever. and there was actually in regarding of using the overstating with the partners of the understanding of the OSC. So my question is, and I think I haven't got a clarity on that, because negotiating on that was not only the part of the labor and union, but was also from the province. Now, my question was that the partner communicate the right agreement to the provinces, and the provinces was knowing exactly what to do. But the focal province, we are talking about the focal province now, they are actually provincial visits. There are more than 450 clinics. And the Chronicle said that one was there, you know, not a second hospital, for instance, province. So, Chair, the province have started to try to take them from other departments' money to see how they can overcome this overdraft. But it's also not for me to answer if other departments have made to some of use of their money. Because somewhere there will be a shortage of services. So, here, the question is, the department said when the announcement was made, that they had to pay their people. Otherwise, it was a problem. Because now, everyone knows there was a strike, everyone knows what's going on, and even everyone knows the rural area. And it's not the only problem. It was sitting with the province, it was other officers, other provinces, and sitting with the same in regarding of the rural area. I would like to see or answer, have an answer to see how the Department of Health will, if they can, how can, and what is their, what was their process in regarding to help the provinces in regarding to the other issue of training of the department is well, the of health. I think this one and that one is actually a serious issue. And hospitals who are when a service provider provides both. And that is actually cutting by 70% and the hospital like Montreal only receive for the moment 70% of their normal level of pay. So let people share the serious issue in regarding of health people that the only way that the province can survive is the health and everything. And here we bring health in a discredit. To the people and also in clinics, because clinics can't buy stuff now because they only produce certain diseases urgent. The other diseases stop, service providers stop because there's no money to pay them, and service providers don't want to. And if coal not stop, then the boiler not stop. And that is here in the week time that will come into an end, and the people who provide coal to the hospitals will be stopping, and then the service will come to stop, and they will not be one of the hospitals. I'll get that to answer. That's when we come into the agreement.
Thanks, Mr. Mann, and welcome to the preaching. You have my permission to call and meet with the portfolio committee on health.
Yes.
Thanks for coming.
I'll endeavor to answer the questions. I will just ask you now. Welcome to the question. Firstly, yes, as regards to the question of Mpumalanga, and other provinces. The
Mpumalanga and the
Northern Cape, Northern
Cape, yeah.
Yes. Now, in the case of Mpumalanga, on the day that the next committee in fact was held, the minister sent a team to Mpumalanga, and I was part of that the team. We investigated and we identified the problem. The minister had a meeting with the MEC, together with some of the main members, and a plan was made, and also somebody from the National Department, one of our EDGs, has been appointed to look particularly towards Mpumalanga to identifying the problem. As regards Northern Cape, the honourable member will know that there's now a new HOD, and I believe things will improve in that particular one. There are also other provinces which have problems of some sort of relation. Some of them are a bit more severe than others, but in general terms, those are two difficult ones.
the OAC, we have been monitoring the OAC very carefully. I get reports from the CFOs in the provinces after each payday, even after the run for the 15th of the month, so that we can keep track of what the anticipated total expenditure will be. Now, at this point in time, the anticipated total expenditure in the health sector seems to be in the vicinity of 600 million. We've had various discussions with the National Treasury last week, or rather the week before last, and then just yesterday again. At that particular meeting, it was agreed that we will have a meeting somewhere around the 15th to thrash out this problem once and for all. It is very true that an amount was allocated to provinces for the OAC. The implementation was then done. As long as the implementation was done as per the agreement, the shortfall needs to be funded one way or the other, because that's the agreement that was reached. And if there was then, in my opinion, an under-allocation, it needs to be rectified. But we are in constant talks with the National Treasury. In terms of the questions around flexibility, Honourable Chair, Members, I refer to 9-1-B, which is not really referring to the two departments, to the single department. And I'm just cautioning at this point in time as not to impose more requirements on provinces. Some of the provinces are better endowed in terms of staff and resources, and they can do some of these things, but other provinces just can't do this, at least not the standards that we require. And I do agree fully that we cannot remove the onus to report from provinces and the accountability for the money that they receive. I'm just cautioning towards making it more aggressive. In terms of the flexibility, maybe I didn't make myself very clear about that. I said the flexibility would be nice in terms of capital type projects. If we look at the occupational training grant, if we look at the tertiary services grant, there's no problem with that. The spending is rather continuous across the year, and it is normally more or less the same as the previous year, previous month. So it doesn't differ much from month to month. But it does differ in terms of capital expenditure. You may see in one particular month there's a certificate taking for a certain phase of hospital, and there's a very big phase. And then the next month there'll be less. It comes down to a question of the cash flow management. And maybe in terms of the flexibility that Treasury can look at is to perhaps adopt some sort of a system as whereby we say we can have a betterment of let's say 10% or whatever from the central line. But that can be looked at. In terms of the forensic pathology services, all the assets that used to belong to the police and that was part of the forensic service that they provided was taken over by the Department of Health. So those vans and the equipment in the mortuaries, etc., was all taken over by the Department of Health. In fact, the Department of Health, together with Treasury, then endeavored to improve the service dramatically. One of those services that needs a lot of dignity around it, and we try to really improve that particular service. That went with the building of new mortuaries, and those mortuaries are now reaching the completion stages, hence the reduction in the conditional grant. The health professional training and development grant rather funds more at the higher level of health training, and it doesn't fund training per se. It funds the additional cost that comes from training. So if you have an intern
food, bread, or need two syringes to make an injection. There's a different cost to that. If you have a professor doing rounds, the professor, if it was on his own, would most probably do the rounds in 10 minutes. Now, because he's got students and he teaches at the same time, the same round takes him half an hour. That compensates the cost. In terms of nurses training was part of the presidential issues the year before last, and the nurses training college has been revived and restructured in some places, and in this financial year we also received 10 million for studying the further development plan for nursing training colleges. As regards the question of the people that can go over to training and the 35 years of age issue, I'm more the financial person and I'll go into that and give you a written reply on that particular issue. The OSD for Limpopo, I think I addressed that. In fact, who was present yesterday and will be present at the meeting which we'll be having on the 15th. So we are well aware of the problem of the Limpopo problem in terms of OSD. Thank you, sir.
Let's look at the division of revenue, page 12. That is infrastructure run to product. Now I want us to look at 2B2. Two B two says no, it's not three A two. A province is in allocating infrastructure grant to provinces. Then 2, 3, 2 says may, when a receiving provincial department or a provincial department responsible for public works that manages or undertakes construction or maintenance on behalf of the receiving provincial department in accordance with an agreement referred to in subsection 2B, left capacity usually an amount not exceeding 4% of the allocation for acquiring such capacity, and then to continue to explain that. So I'm reading this because it might be fearful for the Department of Health if one person who really affects our contaminating efficiency and where this issue of capacity from time to time with adequate is not able to stay that way. I think that the question is one person who really follows this thing very closely, and we appreciate that. However, I'm saying the issue of sometimes which causes the public way not to spend on capital, sometimes no matter the issue of capacity. And to us, it would seem that public way is not building that capacity so that we can be able to let, if there is enough capacity, then to say, to allocate the problem. But for now, in many instances, this matter of failing to spend on capital expenditure abnormally around capacity, which resides in public work. And from our side, we have endeavored to bring both public works, provincial public works departments, and departments like health and education together to ensure that the right people do take account of this, do take account of this clause.
in that case, it will also be appreciated that also the national department also acts in this matter to ensure that people do take into account that there is provision that is made where there is a lack of capacity. There is the law makes provision for that particular department to build that capacity so that we can encounter. And as a result, I think that many provinces, they have taken this into account and have been able to say that now we have the very few provinces where there has had to be reallocation, redirection of funds. But I think that the national department must also the provincial counterparts in doing this. Probably doing this, it would look like he's achievable. Thank you.
Now, what you're saying, teaching and shareholders, especially in respect of Mbumalanga and the Mafeki, it would have been nice if in a discussion, public welfare was part of that discussion. But public welfare has no reason to say they don't have capacity, because already capacity is taken for in terms of this law. In fact, we shall be in Mpumalanga ourselves on 18 and 19 and 20. We will be discussing again in the same Department of Health and Public Health, just to draw their attention to addressing this thing as a committee. We will be in Mpumalanga as a committee just to reinforce exactly your own effort. We are happy that you are doing something about it. So what we say is that our public work is going to be part of the discussion. Because we must, in fact, go to the public works and treasure. Because we do want to know whether treasure is for instance and also identify the capacity constraints of public works. Because reading further here, it also says that the public works must also present a plan of building its own capacity. So, Mr. Sebon is also presenting the national department also, in your engagement, also to engage with the public works department so that they are part and parcel of the whole arrangement there. Now, can we then safely say, therefore, I'm raising a question, that in view of what is done, I think that especially the two provinces that we're talking about would be able to absorb more money as reflected in the indication of revenue about that you would not want to ask, or you would not somewhere in the air, we hold it. That one other issue that we want to raise is, and you consider it to be hold somewhere within midstream maybe, precisely because of the problems that we see here in the two provinces that we're talking about. That's the one thing. So that the repartition of revenue, we must also be ourselves clear that the National Department is working very hard in this capacity, such that. Of course, there is another problem of capital spending, which is public works now, that has to be taken outside of your own terrain, but we need to find a way of ensuring that all of these activities are integrated in terms of the plan that we are putting in place. So are you satisfied that you think we must then say past the division of everything in respect of the application to those problems?
Honorable Chair, I'll answer in two ways. Firstly, just relative to the clause quoted by the member, that refers to the infrastructure grant that we accept that, and that grant is managed by the President himself. But we accept the spirit of the comment. In terms of the service provider for the our capital project is largely the sponsor of work. Some provinces have been quite has been innovative and put in a decent case. They use KUKA in KwaZulu-Natal, they use Infrastructure, and their
different other provinces have used other agencies within the province. This indicates that the Department of Works can work well. In fact, what happens in Pumalanga, they work with the Department of Works and it's rather well. But we have had problems in certain aspects. Then, as regards to the withholding, as we see now, we've withheld money in terms of both the auxiliary qualification grant as well as the prevention grant. So we are applying the Act, and should it be necessary to apply the Act next year, we will certainly do so. But at the same time, I believe those provinces must not be jeopardized in their development stage at this stage by not giving them the money in the first place. Let them give them the money, and if they don't use it, then we can take the step which is available in the law.
Chair, thank you very much, and to honourable members, apologies once again for having gone out. Just on two things. One, if Chair, you can make available to us the program with regard to this in Mpumalanga, we would want to find a way to join in one or the other, because we have an interest in ensuring that profit works in certain ways. And I think it relates to your second question that we would commit ourselves to ensure that that engagement to apply this particular capacity element of the common clause, we are also making our own efforts to deal with it. By and large, the problem in that project relates to management issues. They're not necessarily, as the CFO said, if the management was proper within that, the program would work very well. So it's not in the capacity, although all provinces may have challenges of capacity. But I think we're dealing with a management problem there. And once we've dealt with it, I'm sure the other issues will fall into place.
You know, as PC was talking about, something changed my mind. I know that the National Department, I mean, provinces are a sphere of government. They have got some level of autonomy against us. But what also we have noticed is that in provinces, we have a Department of Health, social services, they do experience problems. With the expenditure in their health matters. Therefore, I'm not sure if the National Department has also noticed that they are not in a position just to make a recommendation. I mean, no, that's it. I mean, they are kind of autonomous. That's why I say that. Just to make a recommendation, because the health budget is a big budget. And it means that it's got big responsibility. But if you start mixing them with other things, it looks like also it's, it's causing all kinds of strain to people who are doing this. And we have raised this question with them as well. But therefore, in whatever Professor West is attempting to say, no, we're able to absorb this, to deal with this, but the reality is not like this aspect. The reality is different on the ground.
Chair, I we hear the honourable member. It's a difficult matter because the evidence may point in another direction. If you talk about the Northern Cape, for example, the challenges there have nothing to do with the fact that they are combined with social development, because they're not. And same thing with the Eastern Cape, they have challenges, I would say, just the Department of Health. So it's not very easy to prescribe on the basis of that kind of evidence. But also, these are prerogatives of premiers and not necessarily even the people in health, their meetings and so on. So until you have a particular premier who would then work out how to organize their departments and So or you're not able to make that kind of recommendation. So I would say if it's necessary in some provinces we might want to raise if there are difficulties specific to the province. But not as a matter of principle.
Alright, I think what we will then do, we will provide the TG the program to your office. But number two, we will be ourselves working with yourselves to monitor carefully in the fourth quarter what's going on in the special. And these are the two provinces we shall call when we're dealing with the fourth quarter in terms of our own work. So that we've got to be monitoring carefully these issues. Especially if they relate to the management issues, we must have monitored that very carefully. And maybe together with your family, have to look at as a committee looking at the program in terms of how are they moving forward every month, how are they moving forward both in the Northern Cape. Especially with the Northern Cape, when the Northern Cape was performing well about 2 years ago. Really has been a terrible turnaround for the West. So it's a very terrible position. So the place will really accept what the teacher is saying and the CFO. I think you are right in terms of let us show the intention that we want to allocate to problems in terms of the division of revenue. In fact, that is what also National Treasury was saying to us when we were saying we might want to talk. He said, well, no. Let's please show the intention, and therefore everybody then must be on the basis of that intention. Let's then work also in trying to assist them to have the capacity to absorb. We will do that in the context of the assurances that you have given. And then let's thank you very much then for the hard work you're doing. Part of what we want to raise with you is just to assist your own colleagues again. Because part of what is also in the discussions of the IGFR, which have also been raised by the CFO, we also were in the mobile tool sample, exactly as a result of what I'm going to expect. The baseline has been declining, while nationally has been giving money. But then the baseline in the province is simply declining. In the Mbombo, for instance, the baseline was 4.1 when they appeared before us. And so when we went to Mbombo, the baseline now when we left there was 35.9. But we beg them to continue talking. It must be 26. It must be the proper figure. But what we learned there is that people are not talking to each other. That's why they said we need to ask. That health in this province for a long time has never been sitting under one roof the way you are seated with provincial government. And this is the official saying this thing to us. No. We have not been talking the way we are talking as in this meeting now. And so they are starting to say we are healthy, people say things are flowing for the better. But clearly, it's a matter that from our side we are pushing uncompromisingly. But the norms that are there in respect of all of these things must be maintained. Well, part of what we are saying in Mbombo, they are all of them, without exception, are committed to what they are calling the PGDF. You speak here of what they are saying in the context of the provincial golden development strategy of Mbombo. We want to do this. But then the opposite. Practically done. And this is what we were saying to them. You can't have an economy with sick people, okay? And those rising must be done. We did get some assurances from the provincial treasury that, of course, they were saying there's going to be a war in ESCOM when they were going to present the 25.1. And they said, well, it means we might also want to come back ourselves also to talk to your whole ESCOM. Well, you can't talk PGDF when there's no budget for roads, when there's no budget for health, and then when there's no budget for education. Similarly, we are sitting with the people also to just assist them to be pushing their case strongly in the forefront, especially for the case line. Whatever. You can compromise any other things, but not the case line. So that then the conditional grants must supplement forward. But then if the baselines are also long. But what is where? We don't know where this money goes to when the baselines are reduced. We know for instance in Northwest there is a whole range of development funds. Every department has a development fund in the Northwest. Even the office of the Premier has a development fund. So it means they are cutting baseline from other portfolios to create all of this fund pressure. But then what's your last teaching? You're not going to get
my last word is just a question.
This is at Gigi. And I want to thank them for coming. And we blacklist. Now, for the 15 minutes of one, we take this is the night meditation, go for lunch, and then come back and talk. Over to you. This is their form of education.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. And I trust everybody has received the presentation because I think there was some confusion between the two committees that they the first committee was Allen Committee where the committee was the portfolio committee and then brought here. Honorable thank you, Honorable Chairperson. First of all, then just to get an apology for the Ministry's abroad and for the usual was also to portfolio committee. Honorable Chairperson, I have done a little more than what you have requested, and I want to perhaps just check with you whether it is fine if you get a general overview of the finances for the provincial department. And then you can emphasize that the request is to depend on the conditional grant. Thank you. Well, you said that I think it's important to perhaps just note the process where we've come from until now. We've seriously interacted with the National Treasury. We agree upon the auditors from the presentation on the priority areas requesting additional funding, including the conditional grant. We worked with every province since about October, November last year, and as late as still last week on a budget standardization exercise that we reached an agreement and see that the money is allocated to the priorities as intended. For example, even yesterday myself, I was in Northwest Province, they having the MEC having a strategic planning session to yesterday and today, and I also spent my day yesterday in Northwest Province there and working with them. Honorable Chairperson, I think it's also important to note that we seriously took into account some of the recommendations, or not some, all the recommendations that came from the FSC report. And even the minor things like to say LTSN should be a separate line item in the budget, we've done that during the budget standardization exercise as well. Then Honorable Chairperson, the figures and information was also presented to the Council of Education Ministers, which took place last week, Monday, the 21st of February. And that's the last thing I want to say is around, we have lots around public works, and we picked up two recent construction. Last Friday, the 29th of February, the DG of the two departments met, and this Friday, the 7th of March, is going to be a joint MINEC meeting between our Minister of Education and the MEC with the PWD counterpart. So mainly down to the actual presentation. The first slide just indicates that the provincial share, excluding provincial owned revenue, amounts to 199 billion rand for 2008-09, and then grows to 246 billion, and the annual average increase over the NTS period is 7.2%. If we continue to say education receives 4.65% of GDP over the period, it is an improvement. It is still less than what we may have received 10 years ago or something like that, but it is definitely an improvement over the previous period, which was 4.55%. So we are pleased to say that. Education share of the, or part of the equitable share, should be about 51%. For the coming year, it seems like we will see 50.04%. So it's only about a 1% deviation in that regard. From the total revenue of provinces, the budget of provincial education departments grew from 103 million in 2008-09 to 124 million. That is substantial growth of 9.4% over the NTS period for education, and we are happy with that. Chairperson, maybe I can skip the next slide and move to the one with the end of 2008, oh sorry, second page, it says 2008 NTS. The budget for 2007-08 is 89.9 billion, and it's been growing to 103 billion for 2008-09. Substantial growth. We've already said it will grow to 124 billion in 2010-11. Maybe I must handle with that. The next slide is an indication of the priority areas that we were discussing with National Treasury, which included a specifically additional funding for this NTS cycle for school infrastructure, for the school nutrition program, the expansion of inclusive education, the expansion of grade R, the extended public works program for ECD, again the OSD, like prevent from health, and then we put in a special bid for additional funds for textbooks for grades 10 and 12 for the implementation of the NTA. This total something like 17.8 billion. The preliminary allocation for these areas that we actually received is 11 billion. So as usual, you expect not to receive everything you request, but at least the priority areas have been addressed, and we then received an additional 11 billion for this NTA period. The next slide just gives us the allocation per provinces. And we can then also see the growth per province on that slide. Perhaps just a word on Northwest, because you'll see that there's actually a very big growth here, at 12.8%. The reason for that being is baseline adjustment. We've been working closely with the province and assisting them with their provincial treasury. And it's almost in a way setting the record straight. They are still about 3% under the allocation for 2008-09. We have about 48% of provincial equitable shares, not yet at the 51. We accept that. We know you can't do these major adjustments once often. It would be part of the phasing, and otherwise we also find the problems of capital services elsewhere to be able to just fund this. The next slide is a very interesting one. It gives you a little bit of history, honorable chairperson. In any case, in our 2006 NTS, the priority areas that we had, the low fee schools, the NTS for grades 8 to 12, the strengthening of special schools, the expansion of EMIT, and the HRD systems and capacity building. And it actually shows that coming from there in 2006, what are the amounts that we've allocated to those specific priority areas in this NTAF through the budget planning exercise. And you'll see for 2008-09, for example, for those priority areas, 4.062 million is included in provincial budget. And that's the effect of the serious work we've started doing on these chronology areas in the 2006 MTS. Moving to the 2007 MTS, exactly the same. The chronology areas there were feature development, the so-called Keep Up the Quality, that's the Quality and Upliftment Program, the systemic evaluation, and again, personnel content and remuneration due to the OSD. And again, you see that effect, this is now, you can say year two, but the effect of that coming in for 2008-09, 6.3 billion. And then priorities that we identified in the last cycle, which is now 2008-09, will be the first year, the school nutrition program, the infrastructure, the OSD again, expansion of inclusive education again, great art, and ECG and textbooks. And he got money for that, as I've indicated to you on the chairperson. The total of these priorities means that we pay education.
Right. That's it. The CFO seems to be happy. And it's really not raising very fundamental issues. But there must be some questions about, yes, some problems. There are some provinces which have some problems in, you know, why there is the intention to feed for a period of 5 days, etc. We still know that there is, in terms of the National Treasury Report for School Nutrition, the poorest of the two provinces in the country, highly understanding that is biggest and poorest, KZN and Eastern Cape. I think what we want to check them is what have we been doing till now? And then the last quarter when we spoke to this department, but part of the problem here, whilst I hear what you are saying, again, in terms of looking at the division of revenue and allocation, but there are this challenge. So pity the Eastern Cape is not here. But I must also talk. There's that letter about school nutrition. I hope it's particularly from the Eastern Cape. Let's make a copy for Mr. Bernardi. Somebody has sent us a letter. I'm not sure. She's not been paid for a long period in the context of the school nutrition. What we want you to do there is just to take this letter, engage with your provincial counterpart, because we do want you to ensure that this service provider is paid. I think it's something like 2 to 3 years, I'm not sure. You see? Now, she had rendered the service. Provincial department has not paid. And if you can get that copy, so that we just make a copy for Mr. Bernardi, so that he looks at that. I think the timing is also fine, but it comes at this time. And so some arrangements must be done within the revenue financial year now, just to deal with those matters. Something recently, KZN at the level of school nutrition. But also, there's that problem that we were talking about in terms of Mpumalanga, the capital spending. Of course, the public work element is a bit problematic in Mpumalanga. But again, have you done something in respect of Mpumalanga? What are you doing in terms of that yourself? While you are optimistic generally about the allocation, I think that would be my take. Mr. Soponi?
Thank you, just with regard to your Eastern Cape appeal from the service provider. Are you making, for instance, an arrangement with NESAN as to when do you expect them to respond to you? But I think that maybe the security is better to help principle of government to pay the smaller service provider the full next process. Otherwise, if you dream to pay the master, you will be killing them. With regard to Lowski School, last year, I think that it was this program was helping to set the way to solve the problems in terms of transferring of particular allocations to schools. This year, is a program in terms of ensuring that within the space of time, the allocations will be made. We are going now in April. For constituency where obviously schools is interacting with schools around this issue. I just hope that it will not work because also to appreciate the department that it has taken a lot of recommendations from SFC. However, it just got the feeling that transferred into the equitable sphere. I'm not very clear except that maybe I could have missed the motivation behind that. But the problem that we have with some conditional grants is that some conditional grants are not doing their work. And this conditional grant is one of those conditional grants that is not doing them very well. Now, if we transfer to become part of the equitable sphere, what are the implications of that? Because the biggest challenge with the equitable sphere is that the province must use its own must decide how it wants to spend those funds. It may not prioritize this program. Then the last the last one is said with regard to as well to the program. I mean, from the experience that we have in terms of oversight, well, I don't know if the department can say that there is value for money in this program. Because we do see the training that is being done for teachers or whatever, but is there value for money to be put there? Because if you look at what is happening for how do the children who are affected or infected, what do they benefit? Is there a way of ending that? Because in some schools you go there, but there are no programs. It has a system, but there are no resources, but there is a system.
So, the first
thing
is the whole part of the meeting last time when we were to move the quarterly. I want to raise a few issues. I think the first one, which has been raised by Member Sokol, is the issue of transfer of money to schools. Not only related to the issue of North East schools, but generally, the section 21 schools and so on. Some of them get money in October, September. It's very difficult for their planning and for them to function properly without those grants. Maybe you can assist us in your discussion with the provincial agencies to ensure that there is a system where even the quarter you know how much money you will transfer to a particular school. Because even when the change of learners after the 10 days, those things are not so big. So you know that the school, if we transfer this money, this content, or it won't be over the whole money that you get. I think that's important. And then the second issue that we we raised that there was the issue of understanding some Catholic for how they been there for some years. Last financial year it was around 200 million. This year it's projected to be the understand of more than 300 million. So what is the problem there? Is it because there was just a baseline which is increased, adjusted to inflation? So whether the teachers don't understand that understanding on Catholic, particularly how to and then we would go to our own around infrastructure in the province. I think also from time to time there's understanding in infrastructure in how to part of the problem is that there was there's an education that the CDC called the Department of Education must transfer public work function to public works, but I think there is a slow movement, resistance. Part of it has been transferred, but I think the process is very slow. It's creating problems. Maybe that meeting will have between the two departments to clarify some of the issues. It is very difficult for us in the committees because we don't know how much of the money has been from education has been transferred to public works and how much has been transferred. That time we were looking into the issue. Public works told us only 88 million was transferred in the last financial year. So they used all of that money. The rest of the other money has been kept by education to do its own public works.
Mr. Porter, maybe before that, you say my colleague is raising here is that and I think it is critical in the ground. Maybe it has to do with our own collaboration. Because it would also be nice if and I'm not sure how we would do this. Conduct of the autonomy of the so-called organization. For instance, it says that public works say that it would have been nice to have national treasure. I think that this is some of the things we must have looking at. How do we ensure that national treasure and both national and provincial treasure are in there so that when they are dealing with these set aspects, already are in under one. I think it's a matter that we must start looking at ourselves. If, for instance, he's a person of roads, how does he have access to the National Department of Roads when the Provincial Department of Roads is appearing before him? So that he does not have a problem. All the information is happening in one session. I think this is a big matter we must start working on. How do they get the National Department to be part of this discussion? I think it's a matter that we must look at in a manner that assists. Also oversight in the problems so that there's no gap. Yes,
regarding
open
technology, the largest education in the focus is very low. It is also low CPS is not CPS. And actually adjusting to the capacity in either of the ABC have reported once here that they do education on weekends and not full time, full hours. And they had on virtue of that time to have all the TPU laptop or desktop of the system that is that all education in the book of ABC is excellent, very excellent. And I think that, I don't know if it's perhaps that part of the policy, how they were educating people from the school in regarding the education. What is the report to the national department in regarding the
education? First is the border. There are five. There are six. It's in KZN, Mpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, and North. At the 31 of January 2008, I'm looking at the National Treasury report that we got
know, you just decided to focus on your own problem. Somebody is buying, not exactly what you're trying. No, but the point is that look at all of them. Now, the problem again that is here, which I think we need to check in the penalty. FET is only Mpumalanga, which is below 7. Now, is this real standard for the other provinces that are more than 80? Or is it transfers that are sitting with municipalities? That's a matter that I think is critical for us. And then, your school nutrition, the only big problem there are Eastern Cape and KZN, beyond below 70%. But then, Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Western Cape are between 70% and 80% at the 31. So, what are you doing about that? Do you think these people will then be able to absorb this more funding that is coming in this process? Before you, I think you may respond. I think it's about something to raise just before you come.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman. I'll probably short. I think one must commend the Department of Education on the chat. What the Department of Education actually did about 3 years ago, they established what is known as a provincial budget analysis unit, I think, within that, because they realized if you have concurrent functions, you need to then monitor spending and performance actually at the provincial level. So they both that. And some of the provincial numbers that are seen in the presentation are generated actually by them. And that is also something that's lacking actually in the health sector that needs to be actually built as well in that particular sector. Because there's a linkage between that also and how these conditional grants actually in the health sector are performing. There's quite larger problems actually there. Now, normally when a department is unhappy, we in the Treasury will come forward and say, no, we are happy because now I'm surprised Mr. Bernardi says he's very happy with his education. They are growing, the provinces have actually allocated some of the things. But there is one thing that is missing. And it's something that we are addressing basically within the budget council itself, is the issue around school infrastructure financing. Right. Now, we have allocated 2.7 billion to the infrastructure grant to provinces. Right. And two provinces have actually allocated that money and even added more. Those ones are KZN. KZN was given roughly about 581 million over the 3 years. They have allocated 1.3 billion to that deal with the infrastructure program. Western Cape was given 192 million. They have allocated about 405 million of that. The rest of the 7 provinces in our assessment cut their budget for infrastructure. Now, this was a decision by the budget council that the MECs actually go back and fix this thing. Now, one will hear there's a capacity expansion that you need to take into account. But this thing, we need to address this thing. I mean, we've been improving capacity for the past 10 years. And I think even if you're going to assess some of these departments, you'll find that all of those people receive performance bonuses for that matter. This thing really doesn't make sense. Because now what you have is two provinces did the right thing, 7 provinces didn't allocate. They actually even cut the budget. Where did that money go to? Right? Now, this is fundamental for intergovernmental fiscal relations, because Western Cape will say, we continue to be punished because we're giving the money through and we're dealing with our backlog. But when you deal with your allocation mechanism, they want to give money where there are backlogs. But if you give money to the backlog, to the provinces that have the backlog, they don't address this backlog actually there.
Now, these figures that I've quoted here are based on our discussion that we had the first week of February. Now, as you are aware, provinces are taking their budgets. So we will be assessing again these budgets and actually to see what has happened to that 2.7 budget that has actually happened. But we will give you a report back so that we have a sense of what has really happened in terms of that 2.7 budget there. Another issue in education has got to do with the maintenance of the capital stock, right, which is a big issue. Now, it is also a big issue for health, by the way. What we have done in this round for health, we have added about 3.5 billion, of which about 1.5 billion provinces can use to step up their maintenance budget. We will also assess whether that has happened. But when it comes to education infrastructure, the capital stock, if we assess the maintenance budget there, the maintenance budgets are extremely, extremely low. And it is something that we have assessed at the budget council, and we will continue to follow up to ensure that the funds are channeled towards infrastructure and maintenance in particular.
What will we miss then, Mr. Brown, is this information part. We've got to call these 7 cards so that we know now where the money is going to, not later than that, while we are dealing with it. In other words, let me have that information so that I write immediately letters to all of them. They've got to explain where the money has gone to. So that if they are not interested in that money, of the, they've just decided to allocate it elsewhere, we've got to stop them now. Precisely because it is clear where that money is going to. Now, somebody has been telling me a letter here, Mr. Bernard, saying there's a cleanup there too. And I want to be unfair therefore to you. And say, can you take all of those questions and send them, especially now that you are helping with the border allocation? You can only respond to one matter if there is a matter of life and death in the discussion, but give us in writing all the answers in the next 3 days. I do want people to have some lunch, I'm told to have some finger lunch somewhere here before we go for the dinner. Yeah.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much for your views. So, if I can manage to clarify to Mr. Brown, just on the infrastructure, I won't make a lot of story. The 2.7 million that was announced, million. If you see the last slide of the presentation, you'll see I did not speak to the infrastructure grant, is a grant that comes from National Treasury and doesn't go to the education. But the education department has included 7 billion rand over the 2008 NCAA period to infrastructure. At 1.9 billion of that will be year 1, 2008-09. So I want to think that they have allocated funds from the normal budget for infrastructure as well, except the 2.7 billion. What the arrangement with the provincial treasury is,
unfortunately, that's okay. Because clearly, this school infrastructure is critical. And so it just cannot be compromised. It's a long overdue thing. So the donation is money that must deal with this infrastructure that you are critical. Just to hear your point,
yeah. Let me know where the editor is put. The practitioner has been
changed. She just said she was cutting her finger this short. But it's fine, I take that. All right. Let's then thank Mr. Bernardi and say we will be engaging on an ongoing basis on this matter. And again, let me, as I said earlier, we are welcoming the delegation from Johannesburg Metro.
they are so disciplined. And that's the sitting there quietly as though you think. As I said, under the discussion of the Mukhasen. And they are on a study call, as I said, and I'm not sure whether they would be watching the plenary of the National Council of Police now. Mr. Sokol is the Mitchell City for advisor. We've really enjoyed your presence here. And we're also hoping to go to Swanesha one of the days, especially because we also accommodate the budget. Just to go and see if part of the problem we always raise about Songbeck is that you've got so many entities. It would be interesting to go and get how them is those many entities. How do they do, how do they talk to each other? We were raising their problems of departments that are not talking to each other. But so many entities, how do they talk to each other? Especially in the context of when service you are done in the context of an ITP. How do they align with ITP? That we both go and learn from only yourself and nobody else. And so let us then thank everybody for your participation, and we're dealing with relationships here. This is a financial and economic committee. But to find a way of whenever they have hearings, how to again draw in the national department to be part of what they would be dealing with in the province and vice versa. I think it's something that we must start working on ourselves. Because we must ensure that all of these services are done in joining them for the day. There's a whole range of things that must be done in level. National department, provincial department, gathering of money, etc., well in hand so that they don't have problems in terms of the money that must be flowing to the municipality. We must start working very hard on our relationships. Let's therefore thank them for the initiative of coming to see us here. Can we then adjourn and invite everybody to this finalized activity?